Guys, ready?
Yeah, bring it.
You know, I get excited about every word that the Lord gives me to speak. I'm always excited about it. And this one, I was just really excited all week long. And it's one of those things, sometimes after church, someone will say to me, that was a really good word. I learned a lot. And I'll say, you know, I learned a lot too this week because I learned so much in getting this ready. That's part of the joy of sharing the word. So before we get to the word, let me ask you a couple of questions. You guys, any readers? People love to read. I know that back row does. So when you read, let's start with articles. Like if you're reading a newspaper article or a magazine article, do you ever find that you kind of skim through certain sections? Do you guys skim? Because the way newspaper articles are written, the way they're trained to write, is you put the dramatic and the exciting things right there at the top. Then they give you all the, you know, once you get into and they have your attention, then they put all the foundational things that you need to know to understand further, and then they have the dramatic end as well. So we tend to kind of skim through that middle section. Now, I love reading books. I love reading books. Any of you guys skim through your books? I cannot skim through a book. I can skim through articles. I cannot skim through a book. I've got to read every single word that is in there. And I would say that that's a good thing, but the way I do it, it's almost like legalism for me. Because I have to read every single word that's there. And this all started back in my senior year in high school. I had a teacher in one of my literature classes that he stood up in front of the entire class. And he said, if you don't read every word in a book, don't tell me you read that book, because you didn't. You have to read every single word. If you don't read every single word, not only have you dishonored the author who put those words, every word in there, for a specific purpose, you dishonored him, but you also cannot say you read the book, because you didn't. Man, that put a bondage on me from the time that I heard him say that. And I know that that's not true. I mean, I can rationalize and rationally tell you, I know that that's not true. But still, when I'm reading books, I have to read every single word that's in there. About 3 years ago, Jeff Milslegel showed me an app for the phone. I think it's called Reader's List or something like that. But you can take a picture of the barcode on the back of the book. And it brings up all the information about the book, the author, all the general information. But there's a place where you can push begin, because you're saying that you're starting to read the book. So you push begin, and then when you're done reading the book, you push finish. And it documents that you read the book in so many days. But once it's finished, then you can see the list. I can see all the books that I've read over the last couple of years, but you can organize them too. So I can see how many books I read that were, you know, based on history, or how many books were Israel, or how many books were artists, or how many books were religion. I can see them all as so much fun. But here's the bondage that this man put on me 45 years ago. When I'm reading a book, if I think my mind wandered and I didn't really perceive a pair, I got to go back and read it, because I'm thinking, I've got to read every single word. Because I know when I get to the end and I'm going to push, my finger's going to be hovering over finish on that app, and I'm going to hear the voice of that teacher saying, you didn't really finish that book. You cannot put your finger on that. So be careful. Here's the life lesson. Be careful what you say to people, because you don't know the influence it can have on them for years and years to come. And I say that jesting, but I also say that seriously. Be careful the words that you speak on people, because you don't know how long that's going to stay with them. And you don't want to put someone under some kind of legal bondage that's going to be hard for them to get out of. Now, why did I tell you this only somewhat interesting anecdote this morning? Because that same thing happened to me on a spiritual matter as well. There was someone that told me something, spoke something to me, that put me in legal bondage for years because of a spiritual matter. This is back like 35 years ago. And I had a pastor who was a friend of mine. He was more of a mentor friend. He was older than I was. And I can't remember the exact circumstances. I think we had just come out of a pastor's conference, and we'd listened to several pastors. And he pulled me aside, and he said, Todd, when you hear someone using the word Lord a lot instead of Jesus, it shows that they don't have a strong personal relationship with Christ. He said, if you hear the Lord a lot, it means they don't have an intense, intimate relationship. They don't really know him. Well, like for years after that, I would catch myself, if I'm speaking on the radio or I'm speaking before a group, or I'm writing something, or I'm just speaking to an individual. I would catch myself, and if all of a sudden I realized I said Lord a lot, I'd be thinking, do these people think I don't have a good personal relationship with Jesus? And then my next thought would be, maybe I'm doing this wrong. Maybe I don't have the intimacy that I need. And I just felt weighted down and burdened and condemned. Be careful what you say to people, because you don't know how long the long-lasting effects. And you don't want to put people, trust me, you don't want to put people under spiritual bondage, especially if it's something that affects their personal relationship with the Lord. Now, I want you to notice, I used the word Lord specifically. I used it intentionally there, because this is what I learned. The word that we, when you look at the Bible and you see the word Lord, and you're looking at the word Lord, it's an English translation. It's just an English translation of a Hebrew name for God. So, Donna nicely put together this slide for me to show you things on. So, when you're reading the Bible and you see the word Lord, it's actually taken from the Hebrew, which they write it as W-H, I'm sorry, no, it should be Y. Sorry about that, Donna. It should be Y-H-W-H. So that's what we always look at as Yahweh. That's the way that we say it, Yahweh, right? Everybody's familiar with that? Yeah. So technically, if you want to get really technical, Yahweh is a Western culture reading of that Hebrew name. If you would talk to Jews or you talk to Bible scholars, they wouldn't say Yahweh. It's not wrong. It's perfectly fine to say because you are referring to the Lord. That's what you're doing. He knows the intention of your heart. But for our purposes today, for the rest of the time, I'm going to say it the way that, this is the way the Jews intended it when they say it. So, it's Yahweh. It's Y-H-W-H. And it's Y-H-W-H because it is the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. If you remember about a year ago, we were talking about different Hebrew letters in the alphabet. One of the first and one of the letters I took the most time on was Yud. Y. So all it is, can I see the next one, Donna? It's Yud, He, Vav, He. These are all just Hebrew letters. And Donna has very nicely put it right to left. That's exactly what it looks like. Yud, He, Vav, He. So when Jews are talking about God, they will say Yud, He, Vav, He. Bible talk about it as well. Now, here's the really fascinating and beautiful thing about the Hebrew name for God, Yud He Vav He. It is God's personal name. It is the personal name of God, and it's a name that He shares with us. He's chosen to share that name with us. Think of it this way, His personal name. Now, we know that Jesus is the Messiah. We know He's the Messiah. We actually refer to Him as the Messiah. But we understand that Messiah is not Jesus' personal name. It's the role that He filled. He is the Anointed One. It's the role that He filled, but it's not His personal name. His personal name is Jesus, or if you're a Jew, Yeshua. That's the personal name of Jesus. So when the disciples, or Jesus' family, when they were talking to Him, they didn't always just say, Messiah. No, they knew Him personally and intimately. There's times the disciples would have referred to Him, and we do read to them referring to Him as Lord. But in that personal, intimate times and conversations that the disciples had with Jesus, they wouldn't say, Messiah, teach me this, or Messiah, I have this question. It would be personal, intimate. They knew His name. His name was Jesus. They spoke to Him as Jesus. Jesus is His personal name. The Bible tells us to call upon the name of Jesus. Because for Jesus, the relationship with you is intimate and it's personal, right? Somebody say right, so I know you're all jumping with me. Okay. So for Father God, He also has a personal name. Father God has a personal name just as Jesus has a personal name. And here's the amazing thing. Jesus actually prayed that you and I would know, as in that intimate, like a married couple, would know Father God with that kind of intimacy, with a personal knowledge of Him. Jesus prayed that you would know the Father that way. This is John 17, verse 3 in the Amplified Bible. And this is eternal life. It means to know, to perceive, recognize, become acquainted with, and understand you. the only true and real God, and likewise to know him, Jesus is speaking about himself, Jesus, as the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, whom you have sent. The personal name for God is Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. It's his personal name. So why don't we see that when we open up our Bibles? Why don't we see Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh in there? Because when you're reading the Old Covenant and you see the word or the name Lord, that is the personal. Don't just read it as a title. There are titles for God. That is the personal. It is the translation, the English translation, of the Hebrew personal name for God. Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. God, Father God, has given you his personal name because he wants you to know him personally. Amen. That's just a beautiful revelation. You know, people that study the Bible and spend a lot of time looking at the Bible, they love to talk about the names of God. And it is amazing to see all the different names of God, because each of those names reveals to us the nature of God and reveals to us the love that Father God has for us. Names like Adonai, Elohim, Jehovah, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Jireh, El Shaddai, Emmanuel, El Olam, and many, many more. These are the names of God. So I have this pamphlet. This is from Rose Publications. Rose Publications does really nice foundational basic things to get basic understandings of things. So this is called 21 Names. 21 Names of God. And so if you look through this, this just gives you 21 names of God. And you see that each one, each of the names of God, it has a different definition, but it also has a beautiful testament of God himself. It's beautiful. We get to see the revelation of who God is. Beautiful individual characteristics in each one of these. But there's only 21 names of God. But there's only one name that is the personal name of God. Only one. Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. The only personal name of God. All the other names that we read here, they're all valid, but these are all the other ones are descriptive titles for God that reveal to us attributes of God. There's only one personal name of God, and he's given it to you. Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, or what you read as Lord. When you read the word or the name Lord in the Bible, read it and know he's given you his personal name because he wants you to know him personally. Now, when you see something like this in the Bible, Lord God, and you'll see that a lot. Lord God, that is his personal name, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, and his title. It's that next word that we read is God. It's the Hebrew word Elohim. So he's saying Lord, personal name, God. It is Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, knowing that this is the personal God with you, but he is also the God. In other words, that's his title. He is the one who is the God over all things. He is the creator of all things, and he is the owner of all things as well. And I think most of us have a pretty good grasp of the spiritual reality that God is triune. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Triune nature of God. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We know the Son came. The Son gave his life to pay the ransom for our sin so that we could have a restored relationship with Father God. Because the relationship that man had with Father God was cut off at the fall, with sin at the fall in the Garden of Eden. Jesus restored that relationship with us. Jesus shed blood, restored that relationship once again with Father God. So now, even in this fallen world, we have direct access to the kingdom of God. We have direct access to the very throne room of God because his Spirit is in us. Everything is put in place for you. Everything is put in place before you so that you can have a deeper relationship with Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, Father God. Everything is put in place so that you can know him better in all things. And there's always deeper places that we can go. There's always deeper steps that we can take to know him better, to develop that personal relationship that we have with him. Every single day, if we're willing to pursue him, every single day there is opportunity for us to learn more about how to know in a personal, intimate way, to know him better. All set before us. So, how personal is this? How intimate is this supposed to be? Well, consider how personal it is from God's perspective. Listen to what God said to Moses. Because he's talking to Moses and he's telling Moses what the blessing should be that the priests speak over God's people. This is, I'm not sure where I'm at. This is Yeah, why can't I find it on my paper? Oh, there it is. This is Numbers chapter 6, verse number 24 through 27. You just have to look at the right place. The Lord bless you and watch, guard, and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon and enlighten you. And be gracious, kind, merciful, and giving favor to you. The Lord lift up his countenance, approving countenance upon you, and give you peace, tranquility of heart, and life continually. And they shall put my name upon the Israelites, and I will bless them. That is his blessing upon you every single day. That's his blessing upon you. I mean, isn't that beautiful? Isn't that inspiring that that's his blessing that he puts upon you? That's the blessing that we speak and that he reads over us. It is the blessing of Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh over you. It's a blessing that he speaks over you. But you know what? For you, as a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, the blessing is even better than that. Because that's the old covenant. As beautiful as that is, it lets us know that he is a blessing that is on us. But it's even more powerful for you as a new covenant believer. And Paul gives us an insight to that. This is what Paul says to us in Ephesians. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every, not some, not most, not just the ones that you earn. No, he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Look, because of the new covenant in Jesus' blood, the blessing that is on you, the blessing of God that is upon you, is literally a revelation of the entirety of the person of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Because look at that same verse, but look at it this time in the Amplified Bible. May blessing, praise, laudation, and eulogy be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son, the Messiah, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual, given by the Holy Spirit, blessing in the heavenly realm. The blessing that is upon you is a revelation of the entirety of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Man, that's wonderful. Now let's go back and look at Numbers chapter 6, but I want to focus on that last verse that we read. So Numbers chapter 6, verse number 27. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless, shall put my name on the children of Israel. This verse is telling us that the name of God, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, should be put on his children. Now for the Jews who were hearing this in the times of Moses, and for the Jews that have heard this throughout all of history, that word put, that evokes a very specific image in their minds. When we read that my name shall be put upon them, what that says to the Jews, and what I wanted to speak to you and I, it says to the Jews, it is a picture of a hand being put on someone. More specifically, it is a picture of God's hand of blessing being put on them because they are the children of God. God has given you his personal name. And with his personal name comes his personal blessings. He's given you his personal name, and with those blessings, with his name comes his personal blessings. So you and I, we need to learn from the Jews. We need to learn to see that hand of God's blessing being placed on you. Specifically, you need to learn to see the hand of God's blessing placed on your head as he is speaking daily his blessings on you because of his great love for you. We need to learn to see the blessing of his name being put upon us. Submit to that name. Submit to that mighty name of God, and you're going to find that you live your life in peace, and you live your life in confidence. And you're going to find that you're able to cast all the cares of the world upon him. Humbly submit to that hand of God being placed upon you, and you will find that God will elevate you or exalt you or lift you up. This is what Peter said to us. 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due season, casting all of your cares upon him, for he cares for you. What I want you to see as we go through these verses is I want you to see and learn and understand the intimate relationship that God the Father wants with you. And we can have the intimate relationship because of Jesus Christ and because of the sacrifice that he made. You have an intimate relationship with Jesus. We probably have a growing intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. But I want us to see the intimate relationship that God himself desires to have with you. He desires to have a personal relationship with you. He desires that intimacy. He has a blessing that he has. Picture his hand of blessing being upon you. And then I want to challenge you to not just see this, I want to challenge you to feel this, feel it as well. Why do I say that? I love my father. He passed away about 6 years ago. I loved my father. But my father was not a personable. He wasn't warm and cuddly. He was surely not a toucher. You can see I overcompensate for my father. So. He wasn't a toucher. My father found it difficult to show any kind of love or any kind of pride or approval through physical contact. He just couldn't do that. But one of the most intimate memories that I have of my father when I was a boy concerns physical contact. And it still brings me today. It brings me joy. It brings me peace. It brings a smile to my face. And that, what I remember, is when my father would introduce me to other people. When I was a boy and he'd introduce me to other people, especially when he would introduce me to somebody that was important to him. Because my father, all he would do, he would put his hand on my head and he would say, "This is my son, Todd." That's all he would say. But the feel of that touch of his hand on my head filled me with pride of being his son. Now, with that in mind, I've shared this before, but about 5, 6, maybe 7 years ago is the first time I had this occur. And I was just sitting, I don't even remember the times because it's happened multiple times. It's sometimes when I'm seeking, sometimes when I feel vulnerable. But there's multiple times that all of a sudden I'll just feel like a cap. It feels like there's a cap on my head. And I'll put my hand up there like, "What is that?" And there's nothing there. And the Holy Spirit told me, "That is the hand of your heavenly Father on his son." God, he's given you his personal name. And with his personal name comes his personal blessings. And those blessings are bestowed by his hand. It's what he said. "My name shall be put." The picture of the hand. Picture his hand on your head. "My hand shall be put on my children." It's what he wants for each one of us. It's what he wants to do for you. It's what he is doing for you, but he wants us to make it personal with him, receive those things, and to make it personal with him as well, because he's given you his personal name, because he wants you to have that personal relationship with him. I don't know about you, but boy, I remember all of those times where I felt Father God's hand on my head. I want more of that. I want to experience that more frequently I want to experience that spiritual reality with greater frequency because it's his love for us. This is the way he wants us to see him. Now, we talk about the name of God, but oftentimes we do so without really fully realizing the power of the name and the weightiness of that name. If you remember the last couple of weeks when we were learning about Jesus and learning the lessons that Jesus showed us in name, one of the things that we talked about several weeks was the personal presence, the physical presence of God. And one of the things that I said was that there is a weightiness to the glory, the presence of God. And the example that we saw was when Solomon dedicated the temple that he had built to God, when he dedicated it to God. Remember, the Bible told us, tells us in 2 Chronicles, you can go read it. The Bible said to us, well, we'll read it in just a second. I'll read it for you. The Bible tells us that the Spirit of the Lord, the presence of God, filled the temple. And it was such a tangible presence of God in the temple. It was so palpable that even the priests who were supposed to go in couldn't enter in because of the weightiness, because of the palpable presence of God in the temple. This is what it says in 2 Chronicles 7, 1 and 2. When Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven, consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifice, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And the priests could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. Well, now, the Spirit of the living God, the Spirit of the Lord, dwells in these temples of the Holy Spirit. And because he has put his name, where God puts his name, and you accepted salvation in the name of Jesus Christ. Listen, where God puts his name, he puts his presence. Where God puts his name, he puts his presence. God even says that directly to us. 1 Kings chapter 9, verse 3. The Lord told him, I've heard your prayer and supplication which you have made before me. I've hallowed the house which you have built. I have put my name and my presence there forever. Where God puts his name, and you can see this throughout the Old Covenant, where God puts his name, he puts his presence. In the house of the Lord, because the glory of the Lord filled the temple. Nope, I already read that one. Forever my eyes and heart shall be there perpetually. Where God puts his name, he puts his presence. So when you're reading the Bible, and you see the word Lord, when you read the Bible and you see the word Lord, which is his personal name, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, there's something there that's more than just the letters that are on that page. Where God puts his name, he puts his presence. When you read the word Lord in your Bible, there's a power that's there. There's a presence that's there. Now, let me clarify. I'm not saying there's something magical about this, okay? This is not something with mysticism. There's nothing magical about this. You can't wave your Bible at people and change their lives, right? You can't put the Bible under your pillow at night and expect there to be some kind of spiritual osmosis that takes place. So you wake up the next morning and you expect a day filled with sunshine, joy, happiness, ice cream, and puppies. That's just not the way that it works, right? So that's not what I'm saying, but I want you to understand that this is a fact. Where God puts his name, he puts his presence. When you read the name Lord in here, there is presence. There is something powerful that takes place here because he puts his presence where he puts his name. And this is probably why the author of Hebrews, in part, said the word of God is living and active. The word of God is living and active, and where he puts his name, he puts his presence. There's always more truth. There's always more revelation. There's always more things that he has for us if we will take the time to seek it in his word. So when you're reading the Bible and you see the name Lord, it doesn't matter whether it's Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh or Jesus. There is power that is there when you read that name. Either way, there's power because his presence is here already. So, how do we then use this understanding? How do we use this understanding to strengthen our lives? How do we use this understanding to change our lives or to change the world around us? Well, I'm going to take you back to what Jesus said in that prayer that he gave, that last prayer that he spoke over his disciples right before his crucifixion. Listen to what he said again. This is John chapter 17, verse number 11. Now, I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to you, Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given to me, that they may be one as we are. Thank you, Jesus. We are one together in Jesus. That's exciting. That's great news. But let me give you some other great news. And let me challenge you and encourage you by looking at the last prayer that Jesus spoke before his crucifixion over all believers. Listen to this. John 17, verse number 26. I have made your name known to them. This is exactly what we've been talking about all morning long. Jesus is saying, I have made your name, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, I have made your name known to them and revealed your character and your very self. And I will continue to make you known that the love which you have bestowed upon me may be in them, felt in their hearts, and that I myself may be in them. God has given us. We have God's personal name. It is Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. Every time you read the word Lord in the Old Covenant, it is the personal name of God. God has given us. We have the personal name of God, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. We have the personal name of the Son, Jesus Christ. And we also have the Holy Spirit who is dwelling in us, who will help us go deeper into our personal relationship with Him. The depth of that personal relationship that He desires for each one of you. Now picture yourself today as you're walking out of here, as you're going through your day. Picture yourself walking with the hand of God on your head, saying, this is my son, Myron. This is my daughter, Susan. And feel that pride and let that stir within you a desire to know him better. Amen? Jesus, we thank you and praise you for all that you have done. We thank you that you came. You gave your life so that we could have that restored relationship with Father God once again. And we want to continue to develop that personal relationship with you, our Heavenly Father. I thank you and I praise you for continuing to show us. Holy Spirit, bring revelation to each one of us between today and next Sunday when we come together. I thank you that you are bringing revelation, personal and intimate revelation to each one of us that will draw us closer to you, because we know that you have given us your personal name because you want us to know you personally and intimately. That is what we desire. We thank you for all this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's stand up and close in a song of praise.